God of freedom, don't you know that I'm loving you? In a God of freedom, baby.
All right, we're taking up where we left off last week. Yes, those are the immortal strains of Iron Butterflies, In a God of freedom. And I wanted to point out something that I neglected to point out to you, the listening audience, last week, which I was informed of from my award-winning sound engineer, Edward McMillan, that the song In a God of freedom apparently was originally conceived, I guess, in a drunken or stoned-out recording session where a guy picked up the guitar and was singing In the Garden of Eden, but apparently did not enunciate well. Somebody liked the sound of it, and it then became the classic In a God of freedom. Now, joining me to help go through once again some of our favorite bad songs, and let's face it, we're often moved more by bad songs than good, I think, is our special student correspondent, Steve Valentino. Welcome back,
certainly
Steve.
Great to be back here, Doug.
Now, you dispute that In a God of freedom story?
I've talked to some people about it. At first, I thought it was In the Garden of Eden, and then people correct me, and they go, oh, no, it's Italian, or it's Latin, or it's French, or something like that. So I've always been very confused about it, and I've never been able to figure it out.
Luckily, being here at a university station, we have the brain power out there that knows the answer to this. Can anyone tell us what foreign language In a God of freedom translates into something intelligible in? If there is such a thing, please send us an email at info@radioparallax.com. Now, Steve, we had a little bit of trouble defining what is bad music and when bad music becomes good last week, so I wanted to tell a little story from the legendary Lost Bathroom Reader, which was given to us by Dr. Tony Held, who appeared in the last segment. And on page 82 of this volume, it tells the story of Wild Thing, the Trogs' immortal classic. Apparently in 1966, Chip Taylor, who was actor John Voight's brother, was a songwriter working for a music publisher, got a phone call from a friend producing a record by a group called Christopher Jordan and the Wild Ones. He asked him if he could send something over. So Taylor goes from the recording studio with this song in his head, Wild Thing, You Make My Heart Sing, and he had this groove going, tells the engineer, just shut up, I'm going to record this, don't stop me. Well, apparently, this gets recorded, and there's some kind of deal with a publisher in England, and it gets sent over to England, where to much the surprise of Chip Taylor, the songwriter, a few months later, Wild Thing, by a little-known group called The Trogs, hits number two in England and number one in the United States. Without too much further ado, let's do an excerpt from the immortal Wild Thing. I don't know, Steve. Go figure. By any standards, a ridiculous song becomes a rock classic recorded by everybody from Jimi Hendrix to X.
It's just certain things. I don't know. There's just something about it. I think it's just the way that it's played. It's good party music. That's all.
I guess.
And
somehow,
it has its place.
It's more than the sum of its parts.
Now, I'm looking here, and I guess the one question that I have for you, Doug, is why in the world do you have 5 decades of Paul Anka's greatest hits?
Well, this is a bad music show, and I don't think we could do a bad music show without the immortal Paul Anka's classic rendition of You're Having My Baby. Mr. McMillan?
She loves me, having my baby. What a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it, your face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes, I'm happy in knowing that you're having my baby. You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you. You're having my baby. You're a woman in love, and I love what's going through.
What a lovely way to say what you're thinking of me. You're having my baby. Unbelievable. I think that ranks right up there with, you know, Madonna's Papa Don't. Actually, it's better than Papa Don't Preach.
Now, also on this album here, I'm seeing Puppy Love, which was done. I only am familiar with the version done by Donny Osmond, but I'm sure that this is just
as
good. I think
Paul Anka is the culprit.
He actually is the writer on this, it says here in the little.
Yeah, I'm sure he's proud of that one.
Well, you know, speaking of just over-the-top, saccharine, sweet, disgusting music, how about Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club?
You know, the question is, do we want to use that one or Karma Chameleon?
I would go with Do You Really Want to Hurt Me, and I think we kind of have this debate going.
They're both so wretched.
See, we keep finding, though, these terrible examples of 80s music. I'm not, you know, well, aside from, like, mentioning the Talking Heads last week as an example of good good 80s music, is there anything outside of that?
Good 80s music?
Yeah.
Tons of it. But let's go with this one as an example of really bad stuff from about 20 years back.
Let me love and steal. I have danced inside your eyes. How can I?
Steve, I have to agree. If there's ever a Hall of Fame of bad music, an adjunct to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, I think that Boy George and Culture Club are going to be in there. But hey, I think the Karma Chameleon is even worse. Listen.
Doug, why would you want to split hairs on that? I mean, it's the difference between, like, horse and cow manure. It's
no argument from me. Now, I agree that there is some bad 80s music, although I like a lot of it. But, you know, the reason, Steve, that major reason that you're here is that I just am clueless about after 1990. And, you know, we sort of go and we fall into the vast abyss of rap.
Well,
and, you know, you must have some examples of bad rap.
Let's
don't
start
you?
With the basic. Let's start with, say, MC Hammer, because he brought it into the mainstream.
Okay.
And so let's just start with a song. Let's start with Too Legit to Quit.
By MC Hammer.
By MC Hammer.
All right, let's hear it.
Back breeze, because you don't want none. I hustle for my muscle, and you look bleak, son. Yeah, I'm going for all that I can get. Kicking it at the top because I'm too legit to quit. Say, too legit to quit. Close. I dig them back, I get you back, and I'll hit you with a dose of Oak Town power and charge you by the hour. I'm shaking like a quake, punks getting devoured. I choose to abuse, misuse, and confuse.
Yeah, I gotta confess, I really, you know, I don't get the rap thing. I know it's traditional for one generation to hate the music of the generation that comes after
you
it.
Damn
but
kids!
Doggone it! What's wrong with this? Why can't you guys smoke dope and listen to rock and roll like we did back in the old days? Get off my lawn! But no, what is the deal like with this guy Eminem?
Well, he's very big right now. Now it's not M and M, just to let you know.
You pronounce it like the
like the candy,
like the confection. Yes,
yes.
Eminem,
and he's been around for a couple years now. He's very big.
What's with this punk?
What do you mean this punk?
He's a punk.
Okay, well, yeah, it's a lot of music. A lot of rock stars are punks.
I guess. Mick Jagger certainly made $20 million by looking like a punk.
He looks like he should eat a sandwich, frankly. But, you know, it's shock music is what it is. And that's what he came in trying to
we
do.
We got to hear some of
let's
it.
Let's play a
you
segment.
You got some? All right.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside. Go round the outside.
Now, I'm surprised that you're not familiar with this, Doug, because now I've noticed a lot of, you know, angry, white, middle-aged men who are, you know, are listening to this music, trying to be hip. And I'm just surprised that you haven't heard of any of this before.
Well, there's a few pitfalls I've managed to avoid so far. I haven't bought the Yamaha that looks like a Harley. I haven't grown my hair in a ponytail, and I'm not listening to Eminem.
Well, you need to start piercing. I think you'd look really great with, like, a tongue ring or maybe something in the eyebrow.
Yeah, yeah. And a tattoo'd be nice, too, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. But the thing is that if you're Eminem right now, you have to be really concerned. Because a lot of, you know, middle-aged people are buying into this, and so it's taking the edge off of his music. It's kind of being absorbed.
Well, he's not edgy anymore.
Well, yeah, it's being absorbed into the mainstream, and this is what happens, I guess, with any kind of
rebellious
music. Well,
you know, his publicist, I gotta give this guy a credit, because he managed to get this punk's mug everywhere. He even got, what's the deal where he sang with Elton John? He talks about fags and, what, beating up fags, and then he sings a duet with Elton John.
Hollywood is just a screwed up place. I mean, I'm sure that you've covered Hollywood enough to know that it's just a strange cesspool. But
you know, speaking of Elton John, he's had some bad stuff.
Benny and the Jets?
I think so. Let's hear it.
Well, I've got another pop icon that went through a phase that was, well, just bad.
I think I know what you're talking about. Could this be Robert Zimmerman?
It could be.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Yeah, I gotta say, Bob Zimmerman, Bobby Dylan, is just revered as this incredible pop icon. And I always think of what Pete Townsend of The Who had to say, that when he first heard Dylan's music, he thought, man, marvelous. I'd love to get into Dylan's head and see what he, you know, makes him write all that stuff. He said, the thing about being a famous, you know, rock guitarist is you get to meet people. And later on, he got to get well acquainted with Bob Dylan and pick his brain. He said, and now I know what's in Bob Dylan's head. Nothing.
Well, we did pick a song, though, from Dylan, which is from one of his worst phases. I mean, some of his early stuff's not
that bad. I'm not saying
he
doesn't have his moments, but he's revered as this Jesus-like messianic figure of rock and roll. I don't get it, because the most of his stuff's pretty nasally, twangy, mediocre in my book.
He's no Abba or Billy Joel.
Yes, as my sound engineer mutters in the background, he's no Billy Joel.
Or Blondie, or Pat Benatar. I could keep listing from your music collection right here, actually.
Yeah. Well, let's do another guy. I mean, I kind of hate to do this. I'm sorry to do this. There's another pop icon that actually you and I have both seen live.
I know that.
We like him very much.
I saw him last year.
I saw him like 3 years ago, right?
He's great. He's a great performer, even for his age. And
James Brown.
I feel so bad even doing this.
But even James, as much as I do enjoy some of his funk, he did produce a song called It's a Man's World. That has to be heard to be believed.
Well, just play it.
And help the man make everything, everything he can. You know that man makes money to buy from other men. One little thing without a woman or a girl.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. After man make everything he can, he make money to buy from other man. Inspiring
it's an
lyrics.
Economics lesson is what it is.
You know, at the same time, we got to, we sometimes, you know, Is it bad? Is it good? You're on the borderline. I don't know what to think about this one.
I guess I would have, even though I'm just a devout James Brown fan, I'd have to put it in the bad category.
That one.
I'm sorry. It's just, it's the one song. You know, the rest of his song's too funky in here. Give me an
excerpt. Well, let's do an excerpt from that one. I don't know whether that's good or bad. Somehow in the end, that's a great song.
It is.
It's so out to lunch that it winds up being a classic.
But see, I think the problem with It's a Man's World is that he was trying too hard in that song. And it wasn't as, well, it wasn't as funky as...
Open a window.
Open a window. I mean...
Open a door. It's too funky in here.
He's best when he's lighthearted and kind of making fun of himself a little bit.
Good principle to keep in mind. Now, you know, one song that probably could have benefited from being a little more lighthearted, Dave Barry noted it in his book about bad songs, was this song by America, A Horse With No Name, which he points out, you know, the song talks about riding the desert on a horse with no name. Well, you know, you have to think about this one a minute. You're in the desert.
You're on a horse.
Nothing to do. Name the horse. Now, speaking for myself, I'm pretty sure that, you know, someday when I die, I just, if I'm not lucky, may find myself down below. And I know that when I go into the room that they've set aside for me in hell, there's going to be a jukebox. And I know that selection 1A on that jukebox is going to be Babe by Styx. I was fully prepared to play for you that song, but someone gave me, a friend of mine gave me extended versions of it, and I played it. It was a live recording, and somehow they managed to salvage it. It's not nearly as bad as the original studio recording.
Now, I've heard this before, and every time I hear it, I start grinding my teeth. It is it is painful.
It is.
And you have a very good selection of just an awful song.
Yes, but somehow this wasn't as bad. Now, Steve, we want to do 90s music. We probably didn't cover it as well as we might have. Maybe some future show. But there was one ill-conceived project, I think, in about 1994, where Frank Sinatra did duets with a lot of people. Now, some of them are pretty good, like, you know, Luck Be a Lady with Chrissie Hynde and the Pretenders. Pretty good.
I've never been a big fan of the Pretenders myself. I've always thought that they were a little cheap.
Middle of the Road, one of the great tunes in rock history.
No.
Anyway, well, here's one selection I think we can probably both agree. I don't know what possessed Frank Sinatra and Bono to decide that, you know, we need to do a duet version of I've Got You Under My Skin.
You're in for quite a treat, listeners.
Mr. McMillan, could you please cue that one up?
Under my skin, I've got you deep in the heart of me.
So deep in my heart, you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin.
What's wrong with his voice, Doug? It's I mean...
You should probably use a Listerine or clear your throat before you actually go into the recording studio, I think.
Or at least take some Prozac. He's so depressed.
Steve, I don't know how to close this. We need a big showstopper here.
Oh, we need just something incredibly saccharine and disgusting and with a really high pitch.
Wait. My award-winning sound engineer is holding up a CD, Entertainment, The Greatest Hits of 1975. This looks promising.
I like where you're going with this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The immortal Minnie Riperton.
One-hit wonder, I believe.
I believe so. Please cue this one up.
Out of love and you. La 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 la
I would say that that is just about as bad as it can get. I think that's just...
I now know what selection 1B is on the jukebox in hell. Yeah, well, we're about out of time, Steve.
Well, you know, and I think we've been a little cruel to Reagan's America here today, so maybe if you could find a selection of 80s music that is not as bad.
We'll use that as our bumper is on the way out here.
There must be something redeeming about that decade, right?
Well, I think so. We'll find one that I like. And I want to thank you for coming on doing this again with me. And our thanks also go to Dr. Tony Held. So, Steve, let's do this again sometime maybe
next month.
By the way, you've been listening to Radio Parallax on KDVS 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Douglas Everett. We'll see you next Thursday at 5 o'clock. Stay tuned for Todd Urich's Hometown Atrocities. Todd's not going to be playing you bad music. He's going to be playing for you some interesting music. And, well, let's go out now with some, what I think is some, a catchy little tune from the 80s.